9 minutes after 11 o'clock. Joining us, our good friend from London, Ontario, nutritional consultant, Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am excellent. Maybe if I can segue smoothly. Baseball is often played in daytime, and the players want to protect themselves by putting on sunscreen. Oh, boy, if they only knew what they were putting into their body. We think of it as protecting ourselves, where sunscreens may have toxic chemicals themselves.
That's right. And the Environmental Working Group has been basically pioneering a lot of this work in terms of looking at the ingredients in a lot of these sunscreens and their potential dark side in terms of health effects, negative health effects. And this is a time of the year, Tom, when a lot of people are starting to expose themselves to the sun early in the year in the spring. You have to be a little bit careful because you have to kind of get used to being out in the sun so that you don't burn. I'm not one to use sunscreen myself because I don't want these chemicals on my skin because I know they're going to absorb into my body. And I don't want to take in chemicals that are going to potentially be cancer-causing or hormone-interrupting, whatever the case may be. So I myself don't use sunscreen. But I think a lot of people want to use it just in case, right?
Right. And we have a
conservative. A conservative approach is to just, you know, this time of the year, Tom, to go out slowly, 10 minutes, 15 minutes at a time, incrementally work up your tolerance for the sun. That's a really wise way to do it. But if people want to buy a sunscreen, please get to know really well the ingredients in these products because many of them have very, very potential risks in terms of health effects. And I tell you, I don't know if you have the chart.
I have the chart right here. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Tom. I mean, you can't even pronounce some of these words.
Now, the one I can pronounce. All right. So zinc I can pronounce. All right. Zinc oxide I can pronounce. But the one at the top of the list, and this is interesting because Environmental Working Group puts this this chart together and they talk about a hazard score. But the one that gets me is use in U.S. sunscreens. And this one says widespread. Oxybenzone gets a score of 8, all right? And then they talk about, all right, well, it's detected in nearly every American. It's found in, you know, 1 to 9% skin penetration in lab studies. It acts like estrogen in the body. And then they have all the references and research material with it. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Widespread. Are sunscreen ingredients listed on, I don't remember the last time. I mean, we label read for everything. Mm-hmm. Are labels on sunscreen products, chemicals should be listed there, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should be listed.
Okay.
They should be listed. But you see, we got scared of the sun starting in, I think, about the 1987, 1988. All of a sudden, they turned us into cavemen.
Yeah.
It was around that time in the late 80s. Suddenly, the sun joined the dark side, and kids were no longer supposed to go outside and get fresh air and sunshine because somehow sunshine was bad for us.
Yeah.
And so we've been hiding indoors for a long time, trying to protect ourselves from the sun. What people have lost sight of course, is that since we've been using more sunscreen, skin cancer rates are on the rise. And that doesn't surprise me because the toxic chemicals in these creams are just that. They're very toxic. And on top of that, I look at nutritional things as well, because if you're malnourished, of course, your cell membrane is not going to be very healthy, and it's probably going to be more reactive to the sun as well.
Is there, now, I would say, Lisa Petty, who alternates weeks with you, she's all of the same mind as you. What are we putting on our bodies? I mean, we talk so much about food we ingest, but we ingest so much through our skin, even though it acts as a filter, all the chemicals it doesn't block out. She likes to use coconut oil as a restorative way of helping the skin. And so she uses a natural product.
Right.
Is there anything that you recommend?
Well, you know, the animal fats like tallow, if you know any local farms and you can get them to render you some tallow or even butter. I mean, animal fats are extremely healthy for the skin. And that's what constitutes and builds a healthy cell membrane, right, is the saturated fat. So coconut oil is a saturated fat. So, yes, that would be a really great option. But, I mean, I have a lot of clients who make their own tallow creams. In other words, they make their own homemade moisturizing creams or salves, and the base is using tallow. And they get the tallow from local farms, and they love how tallow makes their skin feel. It's extremely soothing. So I think we're going to see a rise in the use of some of these saturated fats in terms of ointments and salves and moisturizers and lotions and so on. But right now, unfortunately, these creams and so on are either loaded with heavy chemicals or they're loaded with plant-based fats and oils, which is fine. But I think that we can make it a notch better by including some of these other saturated fats as well.
What's interesting as well is a chemical like oxybenzone. So people will be like, well, how do we know it comes from sunscreen? One of the studies they did was they sampled 2,500 children and adults, and they found higher concentrations of oxybenzone in samples collected from participants during the summer months, which would indicate, well, what are we doing differently? Are we eating differently in the summer months? Or no, we're putting sunscreen on. So, you know, as much as prevalent as that chemical is, we are adding to our system by putting it on in the summer months. And this is where it comes from. And this is what scientists believe explains the difference. Do you think we have I know we're going to talk about chemicals we eat in a second because of pesticides, but do you think we're going to go to all natural products? Is there an all natural sunblock? You're from, you know, your ancestors are from Scotland. Mine are European. I mean, the fact that we're not used to living or vacationing in subtropical climates and getting a tan or whatever. Is there some people, you know, and some people have serious skin concerns. Maybe they've had a cancer scare. Is there an all-natural product that's available?
I know a little bit about that simply because I have a product line that somebody's making me right now, and they can't do a sunscreen for me because sunscreen is regulated by Health Canada, and it involves using very specific chemicals to block the sun. So we're going to go with a natural one, but it's not going to have the ingredients you see, for example, in this list here from the Environmental Working Group. It's going to be basically mostly plant-based, and I don't want zinc oxide in there either because I don't want anybody overdosing in zinc, right? So it gets very technical. Your question is very, very technical because there are certain criteria that have to be met in order to be qualified as a sunscreen.
Oh, okay. I block the sun, you have to make sure it meets some requirements, I
say. Yeah, and it's a really, really complex set of standards. And so a product can't call itself a sunscreen unless Health Canada says it is. And the chemicals are unfortunately, you know, not necessarily the healthiest of things. But then if you went with a natural sunscreen, or you actually can't call it a sunscreen, but if you went with a more natural product to block the sun, in all likelihood, it's not going to have as strong an SPF effect to block the sun. It's not going to be as powerful. So I always say, like, you can buy these more natural products, but they're not really going to do that great a job. So I still think it comes down to using common sense and to say, at this time of the year, start in increments, start slowly getting your skin used to being in the sun. And Tom, I'm fair, I'm blonde, and I play tennis and I play golf. And in the summer, sometimes I'm outside for the entire day, and my skin is fine. I don't use sunblock. I don't use sunscreen. But I start off slowly and build my tolerance up. If I were blitzing, and this is a very feasible scenario for most people, if you're blitzing, let's say you're going to a family picnic or a beach party, and you can't start off slowly, you can't start off with 10 or 15 minute increments. It could be a volleyball tournament you're in or something like that, right? Then you probably do need a cream so that you do not burn, right? And then try to find something that is potentially more natural, that doesn't contain a lot of these products, but you're probably going to have to apply it that much more.
Pam Killeen, nutritional consultant, joining us from London, Ontario. So we'll go from the chemicals we put on our body to the chemicals we put in on our body, because as well, the pesticide use for how to reduce the amount of pesticides we ingest with our produce.
The Dirty Dozen. It's not even a movie. It's the Dirty Dozen, list of products that are more contaminated, shall we say.
All right, so we'll talk about that next. How to lower your pesticide intake, because we'd like it to be zero. I don't know if it's possible, but even organic food has some, but a great reduction in how you can, you know, reduce the amount of pesticides. So we'll talk to Pam Killeen when we come back on pesticide ingestion next on 610 CKTV. 21 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV. Pam Killeen, nutritional consultant, joining us as she does every couple of weeks. May, though, you have a question about sunscreens?
Yes. Hello, Miss Petty. I remember as a kid, we used to burn to a crisp on the beach, and the epidermis will literally peel off 2 weeks later. But we never used anything. Is the sun getting stronger? And could shea butter and extra virgin coconut oil do the same to protect?
No, I don't think so. They might provide some relief, a little bit of protection. But the thing is that you really don't want to go out and burn in the sun, right? You don't want to do that.
Yes, I understand now.
It's not a good idea to do that. But in hindsight, perhaps some coconut oil or some shea butter would have helped. It's possible.
Uh-huh.
It really depends on, you know, how many hours you were out there. It depends on the time of the day that you were out there and so on. So it's hard to say absolutely what would have happened. But I think in the future, I think if people just know to start going out slowly in the sun, 10 minutes on the first day, 15 minutes on the second day, and build the tolerance up, that is actually probably our best defense, quite honestly.
So shea butter wouldn't do the same trick?
No, shea butter is good for the skin as well, but it's not going to really provide a lot of block for the sun, you see. But it's maybe worth a try as long as you still don't overdo it.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, May.
Thank you.
23 minutes after 11 o'clock. The other thing we wanted to touch on was pesticide contamination. Environmental Working Group has also released its Dirty Dozen, but the Clean 15, detailing fruits and veggies that have the most and least pesticide residue. And it's not always a matter of, sometimes we can't find organic. Sometimes organic, you know, may have pesticides on them. But what are we looking for? What are the dirty ones that you got to look out for?
The ones that they're warning us about include things like apples, strawberries, grapes, celery, kale, collard greens. They're saying that these tend to be the most contaminated. And the
are
ones
they
that
surface contaminated?
The least,
can I wash them off?
And that's a gray area, Tom. Because, I mean, you could potentially wash them off with, say, vinegar and water, something along that line. But what about the pesticide that could have seeped into the vegetable or the fruit at the same time? So there's no absolute protection there. And you want to try and minimize your exposure to these pesticides because they are hormone mimickers. You know, they are generally estrogen-mimicking compounds. And it's not a good idea to become overly estrogen-dominant today. It's not a good idea. So, you know, you want to try and clean them. But if you can, especially this time of the year, Tom, this is a great time of the year to be talking about this. Because in your area, I'm sure you have some community-supported agriculture, some CSAs where people can join and have access to some certified organic local produce where the farmers are highly unlikely to be using these sprays. I don't know how many you might have in the Niagara area right now, but it's certainly worth looking into.
Yeah, we seem to have a number of them, and people are more and more concerned about, again, the food they eat, but here's something. I don't want pesticides. I don't want to be eating something. I know what they're used for, but I mean, this is not what I want to be consuming. So do we have cleaner products?
The Clean 15, they're the products that tend to have an exterior involved, right? So that there's less immediate contamination. So there's a thick wall, essentially, between the food and the pesticide. So there's a layer outside of it. So like avocados and sweet corn and pineapple, cabbage, as you peel the cabbage, of course, there's going to be less pesticide on the leaves. So there's vegetables that have an outer core, essentially. Those are the, let's just say, safer ones to buy, if you will.
The other one that was on the list, apples, where apples are at the top of the list in terms of the most pesticides.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And in Southern Ontario, I mean, not in this area, but certainly around where you are, a lot of apple orchards.
Yeah, and did you see Dr. Oz's piece about the level of arsenic that they use on these on apples in the apple orchard? So they're spraying the apples with some sort of agricultural spray that contains the arsenic, which is not a good thing. So it will, if you're drinking apple juice, he even pointed out in his show, of course, apple juice, it will end up with that residue with having arsenic in it as well.
But is it also a case of, is it the level? There are naturally produced toxins in foods right now, like potatoes, there's a poison in a potato, but it's at such small concentrations that the bodily easily handles it. Like we have, I mean, there are, you know, it's... I think it's almonds. It has a chemical in it, which we use for executions. But the body, it's such small concentrations that it's like, yeah.
Sometimes it's the smaller concentrations that are more dangerous, though, Tom. because your body will hold on to those levels because the body's saying, oh, it's a small amount, it's benign, it doesn't turn on the systems that are necessary to kick it out. If you were overly exposed to a high amount of toxicity, the body would turn on systems to kick it out. But if it's a slow poisoning, that can actually be more dangerous because you're right. We have the ability to detoxify things like arsenic. We have it embedded in our system and our biology because since the dawn of civilization, we have been exposed to heavy metals. And so we have a system in our body to say, ah, there's a toxin here, arsenic, kick it out. But what's happened is because of this such slow poisoning going on in society today, we have actually lost the ability to kick out these toxins. And that is my concern. When you look at something like sunscreen or you look at the pesticides that are used widespread in agriculture today, we have overly taxed our systems to kick these toxins out. And so that's why very commonly I talk a lot about digestion on your show and bile, B-I-L-E, because what these estrogens will do is they actually throw off the balance of estrogen to progesterone in the body, which makes bile very, very thick. And you don't want thick bile. You want your bile to be thin. And these toxins like arsenic, these mimicking estrogen compounds from a lot of these sunscreens or body lotions or whatever the case may be, they need to come out through your bile. And if your bile is stagnant, then you become a toxic cesspool. And that's what I see happening with all of my clients is they've all essentially become toxic cesspools. They can't let go of the arsenic. They can't let go of the lead, the mercury, the aluminum, you know, the copper. They can't let these things out of the body because the systems are just too weak to do so.
All right, Pam, before I let you go, Peter, let me squeeze you in. How are you?
I just wanted to say two things very quickly. One is that, I guess I should add a third just that there.
Well, we don't have much time, Peter, so keep going.
All right. The quickie thing is that if I buy organic bananas and they're bruised on the outside, when you open them, there's faint gray discoloring. You can eat it without noticing anything to speak of. If you buy a regular banana that's bruised, there's dark gray mush that nobody was even going to try to eat. So I don't know what the difference is, but apparently there's a big difference besides just reduced pesticide in the organic. The other thing, different species or what, I don't know, but it's shockingly different. The other thing is that back in 59, my parents took us all to Florida during Easter break, and there was a product called Terralene Shirt Strip Dry. It was like completely water impervious, very fine-grained cheesecloth. And we wore that in the ocean and on the beach, and frankly, it felt the same almost. It was almost the same wet and dry. They pulled us out of the sun for an hour on either side of lunch, and we came back without any sunburn, and all of my friends who went came back like burned lobsters. So
that's a great idea. Yeah, those screens are fantastic. Yeah, those clothing screens. Yeah.
I'll leave it there. Always a pleasure. Stay healthy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. You have a great day.
You
Take
too.
Care.